Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one. The RCA Victor Company resulted after the merger of Radio Corporation of America with the Victor Talking Machine Company. And it was on this very day, back in which year, that the Victor Talking Machine Company was incorporated. Was that A, 1885, B, 1901, C, 1925, or D, 1951? Which year was the Victor Talking Machine Company incorporated? And our second question, what did Elvis Presley do on this very day, back in 1945? Was it A, he was born? Was it B, he graduated from high school? Was it C, he made his first ever public appearance, winning second place at a talent show? Or was it D, he was filmed from the waist up on Ed Sullivan's show singing Hound Dog? Elvis, 1945. What did he do? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of October the 3rd. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1881, that Edward Laveau received a patent for the player piano. That was 1881, today. And it was 28 years ago today, 1997, that a farm aid festival raised over $1 million for U.S. farmers. Today, over $1 million for farmers, 1997. Sheryl Crow's All I Want to Do introduces our country music news. It's titled What I've Learned, Sheryl Crow. Musician, singer, songwriter, 62, Nashville. This is written by Madison Vane, 28th of March, 2024, in Esquire magazine. A 9-time Grammy winner and an American music institution, Sheryl Crow has sold more than 50 million albums worldwide, with songs like Love is a Good Thing, Redemption Day, and There Goes the Neighborhood in her arsenal. She has few peers when it comes to chronicling, as she describes, the things that I see and the things that disturb my peace. Her 12th studio album, Evolution, out March 29th, continues the tradition. She wrestles with AI anxieties, rails against internet trolls, and yearns for human connection. Up, Cheryl says, I have been a musician since I was old enough to reach the keys on a piano. There was a moment when I realized that what I was meant to be doing was not only reflecting, but documenting the human experience. It's very hard for me to understand why I've had a colossal success I've had when I'm not the greatest singer, I'm not the greatest songwriter, I'm not the greatest bass player, guitar player, or producer. Everything is about the voice in my head that tells me that I'm not enough. My career has been largely propelled by my need to not just be liked, but to be great. I have really come to terms with that. Cancer put that all into perspective, and several bad relationships. When I first started taking off, I could not figure out how to hold all my energy coming at me, so I went and studied with this woman named Sharon Salzberg. She teaches mindfulness meditation. I do mindfulness at least 30 minutes in the morning, wherever I am. 2 cups of coffee, focus on breath. It's a practice of letting everything go. It's about finding compassion for yourself and your imperfections. There's not a handbook for how to navigate, as a woman, a business that is predominantly run by men, or for when you have a strong woman, how that challenges men and their feelings of importance. I have been advised on numerous occasions to please just tone it down. I wish I would shut my mouth, but I can't do that. With cancer, I had to learn how to say no and put myself first. A year of crying and being mad and not writing and resenting and having fear, and then ultimate joy and adopting a child. There was so much living that went into 1 year of my life, it seemed like I'd been slapped. I would not wish cancer on anyone, but for me, it was a tremendous, actually, a monumental gift. Having a diagnosis like that demands that you rebuild and decide what your life is going to look like and who is going to be in it and who you're going to be in it with. You and you alone are responsible for your art. Article skips down, ends with this. I tell my boys, you have a college fund and a therapy fund, and I hope you use the college fund, but please use the therapy fund. Our knee-jerk now is to immediately criticize, vilify. Well, just observe and try to breathe love through your heart. You're here for a nanosecond. Why be a jerk? Debussy's Clair de Lune introduces our classical music news. It's titled Best Relaxing Classical Music, Essential Pieces. Classical music has been scientifically shown to help reduce stress. Unwind with some of the best pieces of relaxing classical music. This is written by Elizabeth Davis on the 5th of January, 2025, in You Discover Music. Listening to classical music has been shown to lower blood pressure and reduce stress. Whether you prefer the spare music of the Renaissance or lush melodies of the Romantic era, Mozart, Clarinet Concerto, has become one of the composer's best-known works and is one of the best pieces for relaxing classical music. It was written in October 1791 for his friend, the clarinetist Anton Stadler, to perform. The slow second movement, Adagio, is just the thing to help wine dine after a long week. And then there's Vaughan Williams, The Lark Ascending. Vaughan Williams' masterpiece for solo violin and orchestra, The Lark Ascending, was inspired by the flight and song of the lark, as well as a poem of the same name by George Meredith, which begins, "He rises and begins to round. He drops the silver chain of sound." Then there's Chopin's Nocturne in C-sharp minor. Chopin's nocturnes are real gems of romantic musical era. These piano miniatures conjure a sense of restfulness and calm. They're the most sophisticated lullabies for adults. Then there's Debussy, Clair de Lune, the song playing in the background now. Debussy is often called an impressionist composer, a label he didn't much like, incidentally. But this piece shows how great Debussy was at painting a musical picture. In Clair de Lune, he uses pared-back pianism to create a musical picture of a still, moonlit night. No wonder this is his best-loved work and one of the best pieces of relaxing classical music. Then there's Beethoven, Piano Concerto No. 5. Beethoven wrote 5 piano concertos in all, each of them a masterpiece. But the 5th, The Emperor, boasts arguably one of the composer's greatest ever melodies. Find a comfortable seat, pour yourself a hot drink, or a glass of something delicious, and listen to the opening of the 2nd movement, Adagio. It's no wonder Bernstein borrowed it for one of his songs in West Side Story. Somewhere there's a place for us. Then there's Max Richter, Sleep. Looking for the perfect music to fall asleep to? Composer Max Richter has you covered. In 2015, he released his 8-hour album, Sleep. Richter used the neuroscience around sleep to create an album specifically designed to complement your natural sleep pattern. The composer himself described sleep as an 8-hour lullaby. This article skips down and ends with a discussion of these two composers' compositions. Clara Schumann, Piano Concerto in A Minor, and Rachmaninoff's Rhapsody on a Theme of Paganini. Once again, the so-called essential pieces inside the best relaxing classical music. Guitar Boogie introduces our jazz and blues music news. 4 of the best jazz guitarists ever. Jeffrey Smith explores the lives and works of 4 of the best jazz guitarists of all time. Written by Jeffrey Smith on March the 19th, 2024, in BBC Music Magazines. Number 1 is Charlie Christian, 1916 to 1942. For all of his renown as the creator of modern jazz guitar, Charlie Christian was a country boy. Steeped in the rich musical traditions of the American Southwest, he began to play almost as soon as he could walk, guiding his blind guitarist father around Oklahoma City and entertaining him with the family band. In his early teens, an encounter with tenor saxophonist Lester Young inspired him to cultivate single-note lines in the manner of a horn, rather than the guitar's customary strumming. A crucial technological boost for Christian's pioneering style was the development of amplification in the 1930s. By 1937, he was using an electric guitar, and word of his extraordinary ability began to spread far beyond the local scene, leading to an invitation to the King of Swing, Benny Goodman, in 1939. The new Benny Goodman Sextet came into being there and then. Jazz guitar would never be the same again. Christian starred with Goodman for the rest of his show life. He died of tuberculosis in 1942 at age 25. Number two, Eddie Condon, 1905 to 1973. While Eddie Condon was a useful rhythm guitarist, he was a virtuoso of the spirit of Chicago jazz. He became a one-man mission for Chicago jazz and was rewarded in the 1940s when public interest revived in Dixieland. Condon was the music's embodiment. Number three, Leadbelly, 1886 to 1949. As jazz grew more sophisticated, drawing on the expressive complexity and subtlety of its European side, there have been periodic calls to get back to the roots, the emotive legacy of ordinary people pouring out their feelings, immediate and intense. There has been no more potent embodiment of that spirit than the singer, Huddy Leadbetter, known as Leadbelly. And number four, Pat Metheny, born 1954. Despite winning a global crossover audience and influencing legions of guitarists, Pat Metheny has described himself as a fusion reactionary. Fusion, Metheny's style is lyrical, many-sided, an extension of his quest for maximum expressive scope, and his sound, a warm, focused attack with a kind of soaring radiance enhanced by his innovative use of electronics. A Metheny solo is a flood of melody, a mixture of ecstatic vision and consummate technique. His guitar-led band projected the force and texture young audiences associated with rock, but offered both a deeper emotional and intellectual appeal. Through his career, Metheny has periodically returned to jazz formats, as in the recent Grammy-nominated CD, Day Trip. But he would probably say it's all fusion, which is another word for music, desire, and delight.
Thank you all so much. We are the Kickin' Grass Band again, and we are from Raleigh, North Carolina, but we do make it up and down the country, so check us out at kickingrass.com, and I think we're going to let the fiddle player here take us out with a good old number. We started out as the accompanying band for the Apple Chill Cloggers. That's how we all got together, was playing good old instrumental tunes, so we're going to take you out with one called the Cherokee Shuffle.
Introducing our local bluegrass music news. Raleigh Wide Open Festival coming October 3rd to the 4th, 2025. That's this weekend. This is published in pinecone.org, IBMA News, September 29, 2025. Raleigh Wide Open is the 2025 version of the festival that locals simply call Bluegrass. It will include all of the things we love about downtown Raleigh's signature event, plus a few new surprises. Save the date and plan to join the fun October 3 to 4, 2025. We're calling it Raleigh Wide Open. This is a name that was born here in Raleigh, dates back to 2006 when our downtown experienced a cultural renaissance. Since that time, Fayetteville Street has been wide open for festivals bringing music, Carolina Hurricanes fans, art, and neighbors together. This festival will carry on that tradition as we usher in a vibrant new era for downtown Raleigh. Will there be bluegrass? Oh, yeah. The lineup that includes festival favorites Balsam Range, Jim Lauderdale, the Trey Wellington Band, Unspoken Tradition, Stillhouse, Junkies, and other bluegrass greats. It also features rising stars in the Americana world like Sonny War and the Susto String Band, plus gospel bands including the Gospel Jubilators. Can we dance at Raleigh Wide Open? You bet. In addition to danceable music from bands like Shiny Ribs, we're also hosting nightly street square dancing at the Martin Street stage. The dances will be called to music by Big Fat Gap and the Earl White String Band. Absolutely no experience with square dance traditions is required. Everything will be taught on site. Just plan to come and have fun. What's happening with IBMA? On July 29, 2024, IBMA announced plans to move its annual World of Bluegrass gathering from Raleigh to Chattanooga, Tennessee. You can find details in the pinecone.org website. What are people saying about Raleigh Wide Open 2025? Well, the free two-day festival builds on the city's success as a destination for bluegrass, Americana, gospel, and folk music to downtown, reported ABC 11 when the festival lineup was announced. Pinecone, the local nonprofit that produced the previous bluegrass festival in its entirety, was in fact a 12-year run in teaming up with PNC to bring together dozens of artists from across multiple genres, reads the News and Observer. 1 year after Hurricane Helene ravaged western North Carolina, Raleigh Wide Open's lineup will have a special emphasis on acts from the 26 counties most affected by the storm, said the Visit Raleigh insider. Hats off to Raleigh and Pinecone for keeping the Wide Open Music Festival going, said Bluegrass Today. So how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, the RCA Victor Company resulted after the merger of Radio Corporation of America with the Victor Talking Machine Company. And it was on this very day, back in which year, that the Victor Talking Machine Company was incorporated. Was that A, 1885, B, 1901, C, 1925, or D, 1951? Correct answer? Well, the original name of RCA Victor, the Victor Talking Machine Company, might sound like something from even earlier, but it was actually incorporated on this very day back in 1901. Answer B is the correct answer. As noted in OnThisDay.com, the Talking Machine Company eventually became known as RCA Victor after merging with Radio Corporation of America. And the answer to our second question, what did Elvis Presley do on this very day back in 1945? Was it A, he was born? B, he graduated from high school? C, he made his first ever public appearance, winning second place at a talent show? Or D, he was filmed, from the waist up, on the Ed Sullivan Show singing Hound Dog? And the correct answer is answer C. As noted in OnThisDay.com, it was on this very day back in 1945 that Elvis Presley appeared in a talent show at the age of 10. It was his first public appearance. He won second place and $5. An article in P. Magazine writes that On October 3, 1945, a small, shy 10-year-old boy took the stage at the Mississippi-Alabama Fair and Dairy Show in Tupelo, Mississippi, to perform in a youth talent competition. His name? Elvis Presley. That day, although no one in the audience could have imagined it, they were witnessing the humble beginnings of the future king of rock and roll. The event would shape his musical journey in many ways that connected his modest childhood with his eventual global fame. At the time, Tupelo was a small, tightly knit community where neighbors supported one another through shared resources and collective spirit. Music was woven into the town's fabric, with gospel hymns filling local churches and black bluesmen playing in the streets. These sounds were pivotal in shaping young Elvis's early exposure to music, for Elvis, growing up in poverty, didn't dampen his connection to music. His family may have lacked material wealth, but they were surrounded by musical influences, from country radio shows to African-American spirituals that would echo through the streets of Tupelo. These influences, combining country, gospel, and blues, would become the bedrock of his revolutionary sound. It was in this cultural setting that Mrs. Oletta Grimes, Elvis's teacher, heard him singing at school that morning of the fair and urged him to enter the talent contest. Although nervous and unsure, Elvis was drawn to perform, a decision that would set the stage for everything that came after. So, let's close out today's program with another Elvis tune from about that same time period. Here's Elvis singing Milk Cow Blues Boogie.
I woke up this morning and I looked out the door. I can tell that old milk cow for the way she looks.
Holy fella. That don't move me. Let's get real, real gone for a change.
Well, I woke up this morning and I looked out the door. I can tell that old milk cow. I can tell the way she's low. Now if you see my milk cow, he's a rockin' off on home.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program's also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Content of this program intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.
Hey, good evening. Don't that sun look good going down?